The Spectator magazine combines incisive political analysis with books and arts reviews of unrivaled authority. Subscribe today for just £12 and receive a 12-week subscription in print and online, plus a £20 Amazon gift voucher, absolutely free. Go to spectator.co.uk/voucher.
Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast, and sometimes more than daily, such as today. We just heard from the Prime Minister in an address to the nation. He has announced that we are going to our third national lockdown. Isabel, you've written on the announcement on Coffee House. Can you go through the main thrust of this? Because we've clearly been in Tier 4 in London and the South East, other parts of the country more recently, since around Christmas. So what's different between Tier 4 and the third national lockdown?
So I think we are going to go back to the roads being very quiet and everyone staying at home in the same way as we did in March, where the lockdown was so much more noticeable than the autumn lockdown, or indeed than Tier 4. We've got all schools closing except for children of key workers and those children who are vulnerable. We've got an instruction which begins tonight and then is put into law in the early hours, I think, of Wednesday, for people to stay at home unless they are either in a job which is impossible to carry out at home, or they are going shopping for essentials, or they're going to a medical appointment, or they're trying to escape domestic abuse. You can go outside for local exercise. So once again, you won't be able to travel to, you know, the beach or something like that if you'd want to do that in January for exercise. And you can exercise with one other person. There's a few differences, such as playgrounds will remain open. But again, outdoor sports venues are going to close. Outdoor team sports will not be permitted. There's also, for those who were toying with doing Dry January, there is a plan to ban takeaway click and collect sales of alcohol, because people have been tending to collect drinks and then congregate drinking those drinks outside venues in a way that they don't when ordering food. So it is going to be the same sort of halting of life in the same way as happened in March. And in fact, one of the differences with the March lockdown is that the NHS is under much more pressure than it was back then. And some of the numbers that the government was briefed on today are some of the worst numbers that they've seen in this pandemic, which is why Boris Johnson argued that he decided to take this decision.
So, James, we're heading back to a comprehensive lockdown, much like the March lockdown, in terms of what it entails. And in terms of how long it is going to be with us, there's a sense that the point Boris Johnson made in his address was actually by mid-February, you could have vaccinated the top four priority groups. And that should allow, or would hopefully allow, the government to look at returning children to school after the February half term, and perhaps a slight easing, making clear it wouldn't be the full whack. You need to get more people free and more people vaccinated. However, it didn't sound too definite, did it? Because he was also talking about the fact that you have to remember that these things take about 2 weeks for effect, 2 to 3 weeks for vaccine effect, and also for it to have the impact on the NHS. So it could actually be much longer, couldn't it? We could be actually looking at a several month lockdown.
I thought he was trying to avoid over-promising and under-delivering, which has been the consistent criticism of this government during the pandemic. So he was trying to say, look, I'm not saying this all comes to an end in mid-February, but in mid-February we might be able to let the schools go back after half-term. Areas might be able to start coming down the tiers. But I think the interesting thing about what he said is that there's been this big back and forth over whether the government would commit to trying to do 2 million vaccinations a week. As Fergus Walsh, the BBC's medical correspondent, points out, that is what this commitment is. Is it, you know, you only would get to have vaccinated all four of those groups by mid-Feb if you were vaccinating 2 million a week, people a week from now until mid-Feb. So the government is now effectively committed to that 2 million a week target for vaccinations, which I thought was quite striking. I was also very struck by how he was trying to return to the language of that March lockdown. Stay at home, protect the NHS, save lives. I mean, that was quite clearly designed to try and to bring back some of that spirit of solidarity that you saw then, when public compliance with the rules was very high. Indeed, I mean, we all remember at the time, I think government ministers and aides and civil servants were taken aback by just how strongly the public complied with the rules then. And I think that was an attempt to kind of solicit that kind of emotional reaction again by going back to that catchphrase. And also, I think trying to say to people, look, this is one last lockdown before the vaccine comes in and saves today. I think we are now in a situation where the situation is, as Isabel said, it's this weird mix of both worse in some ways than it was last March, in that the NHS is under more pressure than when we went into lockdown then, but better in that there is now clearly a way out in the vaccine. And we said before Christmas, before the approval, you know, everything hinges on whether this Oxford-AstraZeneca vaccine gets approved. It obviously now has been approved. Now everything hinges on how quickly it can be manufactured and how rapidly it can be rolled out. I think you cannot overemphasize how important that is, because the cost of these lockdowns is about £1 billion a day. This is massively damaging, and you've got to be able to get out of this as quickly as possible if you're not going to take a truly even worse hit to the public finances than people are expecting, and if the effect on businesses is not going to be even worse than people are currently expecting.
Isabel, when we're looking at the sections of society that will suffer as a result of this lockdown, clearly they are wide-ranging, but a particular one is pupils, because pupils will not be going to school unless they are a child of key worker or they're deemed vulnerable, and therefore it's going to be quite limited in terms of education. We're going back to remote learning, and we saw what happened last time. There's really big concerns about what that means for educational inequality, and also whether that means exams can go. Now, Boris Johnson and the suggestion from those around him seem to be saying that exams are not going to go ahead in their current format, so A-levels and GCSEs will not go ahead as they were first envisioned, and we're going to find out in time what would replace them. Isabel, A, do you think we're heading back to an algorithm? We saw how that worked last time. And two, how is that going to land on the Tory backbenchers?
Yeah, it's going to be very difficult, because one of the sort of standoffs, as you say, over the past few days was an attempt to keep schools open. And Boris Johnson did make clear that he had tried everything in his power to keep the schools open. And you do have to feel for those teachers who'd been trying over the past week or so to get to grips with this new school's testing regime, only to be told that actually, wait, the school is actually closing tomorrow instead, so you won't be needing to do any of that. But Gavin Williamson is expected to be working with Ofqual on a solution to exams not going ahead, so that students will get the grades that they deserve. But this is, as you say, going to be incredibly difficult, because you have such variations, not just from area to area. You've had some areas where schools have been closed for a while, or you've had children unable to access learning for quite a while. You've also had variations within local authority areas in the quality of remote teaching from schools. You've also had a variation in the provision of remote learning equipment for children from the government, and you've had the Department for Education swinging back and forth on whether it's going to provide funding for laptops and so on. And so it is incredibly difficult to have a nationwide measurement of pupils' progress, and also for teachers within schools to be able to work out how pupils should have done, because this is the second year of disrupted learning for these pupils.
And James, when we're looking at, I suppose, reasons for cheer, or cheer in the distance, hopefully not too far away, clearly Boris Johnson is looking at vaccines. In fact, from that statement we heard tonight, it feels as though he is not looking to anything else now. We've heard previously about scientific breakthroughs, that something would turn up by the spring. He now believes that is the vaccine. So does that mean that, I suppose, things like mass testing, or the tier system is now defunct, but mass testing is almost seen as a side issue now and not the game changer it once was?
Yeah, I mean, they were a long ways from the days when test and trace was meant to be what was going to prevent a second national lockdown. Yeah, as you say, it really is now on the vaccine, especially because the idea of using mass testing was to kind of help with opening up. And that's clearly not something that is happening at the moment. I took from his statement that the tier system would come back come mid-February as we're coming out. But obviously that is subject to change. I think the really interesting question is, can they keep up the speed of this vaccine rollout to get to hit their target of essentially Easter Sunday for the Easter weekend for the beginning of a return to normality and the restrictions beginning to fall away at pace? I mean, that is a big question. I also thought it was very interesting that the fact exams are not happening is also an admission of something else. It's essentially an admission that the provision of remote learning is not going to be equitable. If all kids were going to have the same remote learning experience, you wouldn't need to cancel exams. And I think I think it is very easy. And I think if you were the parent of a child who had gone to school today for one day, you would be wondering what on earth the point of that was, a primary school child. And it is very easy to be very critical of how last minute this decision on schools is. I think the one thing I would say to temper that is the consequence of shutting schools are so terrible in terms of social justice and educational equality that you can see why they are so reluctant. But obviously, it is not a good thing that so many people turned up to school today, primary school children turned up to school today for just one day of learning. That was clearly poor planning.
Thank you, James. Thank you, Isabel. And thank you for listening. Do join us again tomorrow.